And now it's time on a Monday morning to welcome Peter Allam. And Peter, very good morning on this slightly chilly Monday morning, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Wayne. Getting colder and colder on our coast for some unknown reason. But the years gone by, this year has been exceptionally cold anyway.
No, it has indeed.
Lovely morning, though. The sun has come up. There's no rain, so it's not wet and miserable and cold. It's only cold.
Yep, right. On the program
our
today.
Chat this morning will be prescription. Prescription. What is prescription? A lot of people say, my debt or my claims or whatever is prescribed, but what does it actually mean? If we look at the definition of the prescription in terms of the Prescription Act, so there's an act of its own, Act 68 of 1969, is where debt prescribes. There are a whole lot of different forms of prescription, but specifically relating to a debt, which is the one that I think most people want to know about, is that the Prescription Act describes it as being a debt that will be prescribed during the past 3 years. The period is 3 years. You did not admit to owing on the debt, either verbally or in writing. You have not made payment towards the outstanding amount, and summons was not issued and served on you. So the running of prescription is interrupted by any of the above three things. Mm. You must be aware that the debt remains valid and you remain liable for payment, even if you haven't heard or seen from the party for 3 years. A lot of people come along and say, we left that address on such and such a date and, we've never heard again. Meantime, people have been trying to trace their whereabouts and that. So let's go back to those three particular types of acts that there are. So you did not admit to owing the debt, either verbally or in writing. So you yourself as the person that owes the debt, if you have verbally made a message to somebody, been into the shop and said, look, I'm just having a difficult time, but I will come and pay, and then you disappear for 2 years, that means that it won't be extinct. Or if in writing you put in there, sorry for this, but I've lost my job, but I will definitely pay you. Those two acts interrupt prescription. Mm. But let's look at it from the other side now. You need to understand that if you are the person that is owed the money or the debt is owing to, verbally you need to prove that they had an admission. So it's no good in just saying, Peter came in and said to me that he's going to pay it, he's lost his job, and even if the facts are correct, you need proof that the verbal admission was made. Writing is a lot easier because you'll have a letter to prove it. It must be dated, though. Make sure that you've got something that's got a date on it. Don't come along with a WhatsApp or a letter or something and there's no date on it. It's very important then that in both instances you make sure that you have covered yourself clearly. Payment interrupts prescription. So if I owe 300 Rand and I don't pay for 2 years and I make a payment, the debt goes 3 years from the date of that payment. So from the date of the last payment on the outstanding debt that is applicable, it's the last date of payment, not from the debt. So if I bought something in January 2023, for example, that's not prescribed, it's only 2 years. If I bought something in January 2022, it has prescribed on condition that I have not made a payment or I have not acknowledged the debt verbally or in writing. So the shop would need proof that I've admitted debt, or they would have to prove a payment to interrupt prescription. And then the third one, of course, is that summons was not issued and served on you. So it's not good enough just to say, we've issued summons in December 2024 to interrupt prescription from a January 2022 debt. It must actually be served on the person as well. So it's a very strict position. The running of prescription is only interrupted if one of those three have happened. You must be aware of the debt, that the debt remains valid and that you remain liable unless, of course, there's been no contact of any nature. They haven't chased you. They haven't looked for you and that type of thing. The other one that you also have is that in 2015, the Credit Agreement Act prescribed that a debt may no longer be collected by a creditor or debt collector, nor may it be sold. It was the responsibility of the consumer debtor to raise the defense of prescription when a creditor or debt collector collected on a debt. If you did not raise the defense of prescription, you would be liable to pay the debt. So it's very interesting there.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is with that is that in terms of the National Credit Act, no person may sell a debt under the credit agreement to which the Act applies, and that has been extinguished by prescription. You know, a lot of these debt collectors buy the whole book from a person,
right?
Pay off 50 cents in the rand or 20 cents in the rand, and then collect it. So similarly, the Consumer Act says that they cannot buy debt that is prescribed. It does not change it or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't reactivate a debt in any way. That's one of the aspects of prescription that is important to do. But, you know, we're talking about a 3-year period. One must also understand that in terms of the Prescription Act, there are different periods applicable to different matters, okay? So, for example, don't think because you haven't paid your home bond for 3 years it prescribes. A mortgage bond lasts for 30 years, not for 3. So you've got to sit out another 27 with a bond on your property. So a lot of people disappear and say, oh, well, they never chased me, they never found me. But don't forget they've got the bond. They've probably got the property and security as well. So that there will also help. And then, of course, the other thing is that, you know, if a summons has been entered and served on you timeously and they take a judgment lasts 30 years as well. So the two 30-year-old burdens that you have and which will show on your credit rating is a mortgage bond or a judgment. Those last for 30 years, not for 3 years. So it's not after 3 years that they disappear. So you've got to check them and sort them out. And then, of course, you know, in the old days we used to use checks. They're no longer utilized anymore. A check was valid for 6 years. And the Act still refers to checks being valid for a period of 6 years. And then, of course, the other types of debt, credit cards, personal loans, cell phone contracts, and gym contracts, those all prescribed after the 3-year period. So they do fall in with the 3-year period. So, you know, debt such as your credit card, a personal loan that you may have made from somebody, not a mortgage loan, not one that's covered by security, your cell phone contract and your gym contract, those things do expire after the 3-year period. So, you know, you can check on that. Another thing that I suggest to everybody with prescription is that a lot of people come and they say, oh, I've got a debt, but I'm not sure if there's a judgment against me. I'm not sure if they've chased me for the debt. You know, I've been unemployed for 3 years and now I've found work and I want to see what my status is. Yes, you can do a credit check on yourself. You can go to many a place. The banks can do it. You can do it on your phone these days. An attorney will help you. In fact, with your permission, they can download a check on yourself through what we call LexisNexis, one of the few of them that do it. And you can find out what your full names are, what your marital status is, what property you own, what debts you have, what your last known address is, your telephone number. So, you know, the stats are fairly good and there. The credit bureau and a ombudsman can also assist you in that regard. You know, if you have a dispute, should the credit bureau not respond to you when you make an inquiry as to your status, you can report it, believe it or not, to the credit ombudsman. You're not without any help in that regard. The ombudsman is come up and arisen with many a thing, and one of them is to check on your debts and your status. So, you know, you need to make sure that you check what the position is. Looking further, you know, the tacit acknowledgement of a debt, you must be careful with, you know, where you give a proposal to say, I'll pay it off in installments, that interrupts it. So what we're talking about is that the other side needs proof of that. But it's quite simple, you know. If For example, you're going to a shop and you say, sorry, but I've been unemployed, but I want to pay it off over 6 months. Can I please pay it off at 30 rand a month? For the shop owner or the person to whom the debt is owed, the most important thing is to make sure that you got on record and in writing by responding and saying, confirm your visit today to our branch. We accept your offer to pay off at three things as per your offer dated the 23rd of June 2025. So that will interrupt prescription. A lot of people as well don't realize that it's not the start date. So if you bought something 3 years ago, it's not that start date that it prescribes on. If, for example, you were supposed to pay for something over 6 months and it's now 2 years down the line, if you've been making periodical payments, you're in trouble. You know, if every 6 months you pay something, it interrupts prescription. So you need to be careful with that. And also, you know, where credit has been granted, it changes the status as well. It's to say that you've taken something back. Prescription then runs from the date that the contract is cleared and that it's definitely, you know, if you bought something in January, in June, you took something back and then the balance is reduced at the end of June when they pass a credit, that's the date that it will run from. So you need to be very, very careful in that regard. So, you know, based on facts where there's an offer to pay or there's interruption in the form of something or other that has taken place, the court will come to the assistant to the person to whom the money is owed or the debt is owed and show that prescription has been interrupted. You know, your argument on the fact that nothing happened will fail if they can prove something. So like I said, it's very important for the if you are the person that the debt is owed to, make sure that you have something definite to show that, you know, it is owing, and that sort of thing. Be careful of trying to avoid a debt by, what's the word, ducking and diving, I suppose, you know, debt has a expiry date indeed, but there are a whole lot of things that interrupt it. You know, collection, some people are phoned, and you talk on the phone. You must remember that these days with modern technology, they can pick up a telephone call to Joe Soap. So, for example, if I phone Wayne and say, Wayne, you owe me 10 rand, you haven't paid me, and you say, oh, I forgot about it, I'll come and see you. You might not have the actual recording of the telephone discussion, but you're able to show that you spoke to Wayne on the 23rd of June and interrupt. Yeah, so, you know, you've got that, and the court will come to the assistant with people because it's not there to utilize this as a method of avoiding payment. So, you know, you need to make sure that what is what when it comes to telephone calls, when it comes to admitting, when it comes to effecting a payment, that you are not interrupting the prescription. You know, so acquisition of ownership by prescription is there. We look at it from the other angle. Now, let's forget that it's a debt, okay? So if, for example, you've been utilizing a motor vehicle for 30 years, or 20 years, shall I say, not 30 years, for 20 years, it will prescribe and will become yours by the very nature of the fact that the owner has never laid a claim to it. Okay. So, you know, it can be lost where you give something to somebody. So make sure that if you've given something to somebody, that you make sure that you remind them from time to time that it's yours. You know, often you find people that feel sorry for somebody and they've got a spare car and they give the person the car to use. And then they just forget about it and leave it there because they've done a kind deed. It doesn't automatically become that person's after 3 years or something like that. There are longer periods for that.
For different situations.
Right. Yeah. Also, the other way, you know, another thing that interrupts prescription is that if the person to whom it's been given is a minor or is insane or is under curatorship, you know, that there's a distinction there as well. Prescription does not run in those particular instances as well if you're able to prove it. And then a very important one these days is that a lot of people don't realize that prescription is also delayed if somebody, for example, you've got a friend that you've given money to and he decides he's going to Australia to relocate in Aussie. The the moving outside of the Republic interrupts prescription as well. So if the deal was done here in South Africa, prescription is interrupted.
Okay.
Yeah. Another one that interrupts prescription, unfortunately, is a marriage. You know, these are interesting little aspects. Certain circumstances. So if you're married to somebody and you've given your wife some money or your husband money and he hasn't paid it back, and because you're in love and all the rest of it, you don't ask for it, and then you have a fight 5 or 6 years later, believe it or not, that prescription is interrupted by the marriage. So from the date of the divorce or the date you leave or the date you demand the money, it does become clearly through. And that relates to partners as well, living with somebody. The other thing is that, you know, where the debt is, where the object or the debt is subject to arbitration, you know, so if you do the arbitration within the statutory period of the agreement that you have, it interrupts prescription as well. You can't come along 4 years later and say, oh, but, you know, we should have gone to arbitration. So long as it was initiated timeously in terms of the agreement that you have, it will not prescribe. And also, of course, you know, the creditor or the debtor is a deceased estate or an executive estate. That interrupts prescription as well, so it doesn't fall away because somebody died and you haven't been able to proceed. If you've proven your claim, you've proven your claim. That's it. But the main one, of course, is the prescription interruption by way of an acknowledgement of liability, verbal, express, tacit, whatever you do. No matter what you do, if you admit liability and there's proof of that, you're
then
in
it's
trouble.
It triggers again.
Yeah. You know, the Act is applicable and it can be raised. It's often raised in litigation. That's the main one where prescription comes. It will be raised as a special plea, though. For example, if I'm suing you for money owed and you want to claim prescription, you can't have your main defense as prescription. You must have your main defense as whatever. But as a special plea, you can raise and say, the debt is not due and owing due to it having prescribed in January 2024 when the debt was 3 years old. And then that will be dealt with first and separately in a proper lawsuit that you have. Yeah, well, and that's basically what there is on prescription, an interesting thing. And something that people must be mindful of.
That if you do have, like maybe you're a company that has debts, you need to make sure that you look after those debts. I'm talking about, like, let's say you're a company that sells items and you've got people that buy on account. You obviously need to make sure that your books are kept current and that people that owe you money, because if that takes too long, then as you say, they can be prescribed. But just a question from a lay point of view is what is the actual purpose of prescription? Because essentially, as I say, from a lay point of view, it sounds like a way to that if I can give somebody the runaround for 3 years, I'm essentially off the hook.
It's a way to escape a debt. You're right. You're 100% there. Prescription is a terrible thing. You know, it doesn't make sense at all. And you know, worse than that, what doesn't make sense to me, and you know, I find it very hard to believe that if somebody ducks and dives you for a period of 3 years and you can't find them, and then all of a sudden you're able to locate them, that prescription can play a role. But I suppose the lesson behind it is that if you're going to sell something to somebody, if you're going to loan money, if you're going to trust somebody with something that you've given him, make sure that you know the person, that you're able to locate the person. You know, do a proper credit check on the person. Make sure that his credentials are good. In other words, what the Act is basically saying in my eyes is don't give credit to Joe Soap, who has no credit rating, no credit reference, no fixed abode, that type of thing. So, think before you give credit and make sure that you've got the proper details on the person. And what a lot of people don't do as well, you know, I say to many of my clients is that make sure somebody fills in a credit application form. Don't come along and say, oh, but you know, I want to do work for Wayne. He's a really well-known person in East London. He comes from Barcoast FM, and we know where he is. He's on the radio every morning. That's not good enough. You must get him to sign. You must get him to give details. You must get him to commit himself. Mm. You must get him to do a purity ship. What I say to a lot of people as well. Often I get people back and they say, oh, well, Joseph says they're not going to do business with us because we want a personal surety ship. Mm. You don't want that person. That's already a warning sign that something's wrong. But get rid of that person. You don't need that. No matter how big he is, no matter what big contract he has, at the end of the day, you're going to be taken by somebody. Mm. If you're an open and honest person, you will fill in an application for credit form.
Yeah,
you will sign as a surety. You know, you should not be thinking that in the end, result will be that you're not able to pay and you want to avoid it in your personal life.
Yeah,
a lot of people say, you know, I don't like signing surety ships, but you know, that just shows your character, in my opinion. Anybody who refuses to sign a surety ship has no character at all because, you know, they're living on a whim of not knowing whether it's going to be finalized or not. If I come to you for credit, I must know that I'm able to pay you.
Mm.
If you can't afford to buy something, don't buy it. If you pick up a contract and you're not sure that it's going to be successful, don't take the goods from somebody.
Mm.
And of course, you know, the worst part with that is that so many times you get people that have been greedy. When they've picked up a tender, they bought goods, and then when the money comes in, they live like a millionaire and they don't pay the
And then they can't pay the suppliers. Yes. Yeah. I mean, that happens so often.
With the next one that comes, and then they don't realize that they've overspent and they spent more than their profit and that type of thing. You know, you see these people all of a sudden with flashy cars, flashy homes.
Yeah.
Black clothing and what all.
And that's happens a lot in the big construction projects, you know, where inexperienced contractors, but I think that would be a topic for another whole chat. But very interesting prescription. And basically, if I could interpret it, a balance, the law sees a balance. It says, look, you are silly enough to lend the guy the money, you are silly enough to give him that account, you've got 3 years to chase him. After that, he is on his own.
That's it. Absolutely. Don't be caught. Be clever.
So,
and a good business as well. You know, my advice to a good business is use the term three months. If somebody still owes you money after 3 months, chase them, hound them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's when it starts to get into the bad situation.
That's where it starts going south.
You sometimes get people that are just waiting for money to come through, but follow up daily. Have you got your money? Have you got money? Make a nuisance of yourself.
Yeah.
And you have a right to do that because the money is owing to you.
Yes.
Don't have people say, yes, so often, oh, I phoned Joseph and he said, I must stop bothering him. You're entitled to that. The money is due and owing to you.
Yeah.
You are not being a nuisance. You are entitled to demand. You know, the status of your payment. No such thing as you cannot ask about your payment.
That's it. Yeah. Interesting. Peter, if somebody has got questions or any legal issues, they want to get in touch with you at Alum's Attorneys, how do they go about it?
Okay, we're situated at 6 Sansom Road in Berea. Telephone number 043-7211018. It's a little side street where Pep Stores is. Otherwise, easiest, Facebook. Put an S onto our surname, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for sugar. Go on there. You'll find the chats. Today's chat will be put on later today when you send it through to us. And they can leave back chats on there as well. So please feel free to make contact with us through WhatsApp. And, of course, they can also just go onto your site as well and they'll find the chats and they'll find us.
And the details.
Our details there as well.
Great. Peter, thank you very much. Have a good week and looking forward to chatting next week, Monday.
Super wide.